Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome into our online messages. I'm Pastor Michael, the lead pastor here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, and we've made it through Christmas. It's New Year's weekend, and today we've got a message titled, The Next Chapter, Embracing a Journey of Renewal and Hope. As we go into this new year tomorrow, I think it's important that we talk about the next chapter. Not only in our church, but the next chapter for us as individuals. As we turn the page, we begin to look towards Easter as a church now, and we begin to just look to a new year, 2024. Now, in my life, New Year's Eve has always had this significance of time of reflection, a time of anticipation. For what this new year could hold. Now, I think back to 2020, and we had turned the page for where I was at the time as a pastor. And my lead pastor at that time, I was a youth pastor, worship pastor, and the lead pastor had gotten sick. And so basically from the beginning of November through Christmas, I was, for all intents and purposes, the senior pastor of the church, trying to lead the church through a very difficult time. And so as we turned 2020, the hope was that we were going to have a good year. Now, we knew the 2020 election was coming, and so that was going to cause some, you know, ruffled feathers and things. But we also just were excited and anticipating a better way to start our year than the way our year finished. Lo and behold, COVID happened. So sometimes anticipation doesn't always work out. But we can look towards 2024 with some anticipation right now. Now, one of the other things that happens at New Year's, inevitably, I don't know if it's nearly as popular as it used to be, but people get into the fad diets, right? They make a New Year's resolution at the beginning of the new year and try and do something different with their life, try and do something better with their life. There are lots of examples of this. I've never been a fad diet guy. But my last church, we always did prayer and fasting, 21 days of prayer and fasting right at the beginning of the new year to start our year off right. So that's one thing you can do that would be a great way to start your new year. Maybe getting into the Bible is a good thing. Your devotional life, your prayer life, making that a little stronger in the new year. Maybe for some of you, coming to church and be a part of a church family regularly would be a new thing for you, but a good thing. But there's lots of things that you can do in this new year. But as we get started today with this message, I want to start by reflecting on the past year. I think it's important for us as Greenwood Community Church to look back on this past year and what has brought our church and what we've come through. Before we get into that, though, let me share a scripture with you. We won't have anything on the screen or on the over my shoulder this time, but we just have four quick scriptures to share today. And so the first one comes down to Psalms chapter 77, verses 11 and 12, and it says this: "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works." And as we reflect on the past, it is important for us to keep in our minds the things that God does for us. It's important to have those on the forefront of our in the forefront of our minds because it helps us to remember how good God is. It helps us to remember how He continually works on our behalf, right? God is faithful. God's faithful to you, and God has been faithful to our church. Here are just a couple things that God has been faithful in. He brought this congregation a new pastor. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't think that I'm like the bee's knees or the cat's pajamas or any other weird cliche that we have these days. But it's something that we prayed for as a church, right? We were asking God to bring us a lead pastor, and you got a lead pastor from Oregon, a guy who had never done the job before. And things are going well. God is faithful. I also think I look back at Fall Fest on October 31st, and Fall Fest yet again has grown in numbers, more people on our campus than ever before. God is faithful. God is using that event to reach our community. We can go back into the scripture and see God's faithfulness at work. And there are many, many, many examples, so I'm only going to give you two brief ones this morning. But I look at the story of Abraham. God promises Abraham that he is going to make him the father of a great nation. That his descendants will be like the stars. There will be so many, be like grains of sand on a beach. I mean, it's going to be amazing, the number of descendants that come from Abraham's line. And Abraham, he gets older in his years and no child, and he's confused. His wife's barren, and he's like, okay, God, I don't know what's going on here. So he and his wife, they take it matters into their own hands. They say, God, you're just not getting this done. We're going to help you out a little bit. And he has a baby with his wife's servant. And God is not happy. Abraham repents, asks for forgiveness. And Isaac is born from Sarah, his wife, when they are very, very old. And then God says, hey, here's an interesting thing, Abraham. I want you to go up to the mountain and take Isaac with you. And I want you to build an altar, and I want you to sacrifice your son to me on that altar. Imagine that. You've been waiting. He's an old, old man, closer to the century mark than to the 50 mark. And he's being asked by God that this son that was promised to him, go and sacrifice him. And what does Abraham do? He remains faithful to God. And in fact, he has Abraham on the altar. He has him tied down, and he's got the sword or the knife or sword, dagger, and he's ready to slay his son, to sacrifice his son before God. And just before he does, God says, Abraham, stop. He tells him he's been faithful. And it was counted to him as righteousness, as James says. He was called the friend of God because he did what God asked. And God was faithful. And there is a great nation. There was a great nation through Abraham's descendants. Both of them, in fact. And then we look at Moses and the Israelites. In truth, Moses should have never survived, should have never been alive. There was an order to kill all young boys. And Moses' mom was like, no, I'm going to put him in a basket, put it down the river and see what happens. Pharaoh's daughter gets him and raises him in the king's home, king's court, becomes like a Prince of Egypt, basically, movie title. And Moses ends up killing an Egyptian soldier, and he ends up fleeing. And he's out in the desert, and God says, hey, I'm in this bush. Come talk to me. This is a little bit of allusion. We're going to actually talk about this later. But next week. Moses is talking to God in the bush, and God says, I've heard the cries of my people, the slaves in Egypt, and I need you to actually go free them. And Moses is like, no, man, that ain't going to happen, God. I am not the guy. I'm old. I made bad decisions in my life. I can't talk right. You don't want me. And God says, you're the perfect one for the job. You were made for this. And so Moses follows God's commands, and God, again, is faithful. He helps Moses to lead his people out of captivity. And eventually, through the work of Moses and then following on with Joshua, they enter the promised land that God promised to them. God is faithful. When we look back on our previous year at the beginning of a new year, it's important for us to not only learn from the good things that have taken place, but it's important for us to learn from the bad things, the mistakes we've made. That's more painful, though, isn't it? Nobody wants to learn from the bad stuff. They only want the good stuff to happen. But God promises that He's going to take any bad thing and make it good. Well, part of the way He makes bad situations good is by teaching us something, helping us to learn how to avoid sometimes those situations in the future. Sometimes just helping us to know how to handle it better the next time around. I think of Joseph. Now, Joseph, not Jesus' dad, Joseph, the Joseph from the Old Testament. Joseph was the prized son, the favorite. And Joseph had this amazing Technicolor dream coat, if you know Donny Osmond. And Joseph was loved by his father. And unfortunately, Joseph had this tendency to not really think before he spoke. And Joseph has these dreams. And in these dreams, one particularly, he is essentially the king or the ruler over his brothers. And what does Joseph do? He goes tells his brothers that, his older brothers. They already know that he's the favored son, that they're less than in their eyes to their dad than Joseph. And so Joseph tells him this, and the brothers get very angry. And they throw him in a well. And they realize they can't leave him there. So one of the brothers says, hey, why don't we just throw Joseph or sell Joseph into slavery? And so that's, in fact, what they did. And they went home and they lied to their dad and said that their brother had been eaten by an animal. And then Joseph goes to Egypt. And he becomes a slave. And through a random set of circumstances, he ends up rising through the ranks and being the head servant of the house, basically. And the owner of the house, the big wig there in Egypt, his wife takes a liking to Joseph, thinks he's a really, really good-looking young man. And so she tries to corner him, and she actually, it says in the Bible, that she essentially tears off his clothes, and he goes running away naked because he doesn't want to be wrong. And of course, what she does is she tells her husband that Joseph tried to attack her, and so then he's thrown in prison. And in prison, he meets these guys, and he's telling them about all of his experiences and about how he has these dreams. And one of the guys, he ends up getting out of prison, and he's with another big wig in the Egyptian culture. And the guy is having this big wig is having these dreams, and he wants to have them interpreted. And so the guy says, "Hey, what about this guy Joseph?" And so Joseph then gets out of prison again. And he starts interpreting dreams, and eventually he becomes, for all intents and purposes, the manager of the entire country of Egypt. And wouldn't you know it, his brothers and his family are in the midst of a famine, and so they flee to come to Egypt. And they don't know that their brother is still alive, and they certainly don't know that their brother is responsible for the entire nation of Egypt at this point. And here he is with the opportunity to just smack down on his brothers. But instead, Joseph loves his brothers and takes care of them. God was faithful with Joseph's life. Joseph had some bad things happen to him. But because he chose to trust God and to follow God, God blessed him. This morning, I want to encourage you to embrace the moments, particularly the present moment that you're in. Good, bad, or otherwise, embrace where you're at. Because God has something to show you where you're at. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." We have to live in the now, church. Joseph made the best of where he was at. He didn't sit and be a victim and say, "Woe is me." He took every opportunity he could in every moment to do what God was asking him to do. Paul was the same way. Paul wrote several of the letters to the church from prison. When we live this way, it leads to a richer spiritual life. Jesus calls it a more abundant life. Jesus came so he would take our burdens and carry them on his own. We don't have to carry that stuff. God is worth trusting no matter where you find yourself. We can trust in his providence, that he is working even if we don't see it. Sometimes we look at our situations, sometimes we look at the life that we're in and we are uncertain about the future. Maybe it's because of finances. Maybe it's a housing issue, a job issue, family issue. And you say to yourself, "God, I don't know how this is going to work out." We still have to trust him. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." What Paul is saying in Romans there is that no matter what situation we're in, God works it for good. If we trust him and we continue to move towards him. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." We can trust God. In this new year, as you look to a year that may be uncertain, we're in another election season. Our president might be impeached, just like the last one was impeached twice. There's a war in the Middle East raging. There's a war in Europe happening. There's uncertainty in Asia with China and Taiwan. And there's just a lot of things that we can be uncertain about. There's economic problems in our country. God can be trusted. He's bigger than all of that. Which means that we need to look into 2024 with hope. with a resolve that God is going to continue to work, that He's not going to stop. I know this passage is taken out of context a lot of the time, but it's still true. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That doesn't mean that everything is going to work out, church. But what it does mean is that God is with you. That God is not leaving you. That God has not abandoned you. And when difficulty comes in 2024, God is still going to be there. And He's still going to be at work in your life. And if you believe that and you know that, then you can cultivate a hopeful perspective. Maybe some of you would identify as more of a negative person, that you typically see the negative side of things. You know, like some would call it a glass half empty type of person. Maybe try being glass half full this year. Maybe try being positive and believing that God, no matter what situation comes your way, has got you. To me, that's a God-centered goal. It's important to set goals that align with God's will and God's purpose. It's really easy for us as human beings to set goals for ourselves. Like, I'm going to lose weight so I look better so that the opposite sex will look at me with more fervor if you're a younger person. If you're a teenager, to have the right kind of sneakers on that aren't creased, right? If you're an adult, to have the right job or the right car or the right home or live in the right neighborhood, have your kids go to the right school. But when we look at 2024 and we make goals that are God-centered, that are centered on His will for your life, they're going to probably look a lot different than what we just talked about. Maybe our goal this year should be to be more like Him, to be more holy. Maybe our goal this year should be to be more bold in our faith and sharing our faith with other people. Check out what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." We need to embrace change and transformation, church. 2024 for Greenwood Community Church is going to be a year of change. Things aren't going to look the same when we get to 2025, January 2025. Things will look different. Ministry may look a little different. Some things will stay the same, but some things will change. Don't be afraid. Embrace it. Our God is a God of transformation. Our God is a God of change. And don't be afraid. Don't get negative. Be positive. Get to work doing God's kingdom building work. When we sell ourselves out to God's mission, when we give our heart to His call and to His work, our relationship will take a deeper, more powerful level in our lives. I mean, there are lots of ways that we can deepen our relationship with Him. Obviously, as we talked about a lot, it's prayer, it's Bible study. But I think it's also community. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to talk behind other people's backs. It's easy to say, "Oh, that's a dumb change," or "That doesn't work for me." It's easy to do that. It really is. You know what's hard is to sow unity. In 2024, we want to be a church of unity, a unified purpose of reaching the lost. But here's the thing, I can't force you. Our church board can't force you to do that. You have to choose it for yourself, church. It's not just about us as individuals. We have a greater purpose at work here. That's God's purpose, God's will. We need to commit to growing our personal relationship with Him. But as a corporate church, as a corporate body, as the body of Christ, we need to commit to being together, to working together, to supporting one another. And yes, that includes supporting your pastors, your church board, your ministry leaders. We're not always going to get it right. I'll be the first one to admit, I make mistakes. I make decisions that I regret. But here's what I know. My heart, the heart of our staff, the heart of our church board, is to see God at work within our community, here locally at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. We also have hearts to see God at work in Greenwood County and in the city of Greenwood. We want to see God do big things, things that are bigger than any of us can do on our own. And we also have a vision for God doing things that are beyond anything we can imagine in our country and in our world. And as Greenwood Community Church, we want to be a part of all of that. But the way that we do that is by being unified, by supporting one another, encouraging one another, lifting each other up in prayer, and getting to work. Everybody matters. As Paul says, every part of the church body matters. Every part has a role to play in building God's kingdom. No one is more important than another. I believe strongly that God has something in store big for us in 2024. But the only way we're going to see that realized is if we work together, church. So let's commit as we are closing out 2023 today and moving into 2024 tomorrow. Let's commit to making 2024 the best year yet for Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene and for God's kingdom building efforts here in Greenwood. Let's pray. Father, we are anticipating another great year of ministry here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. Father, we believe that you're going to do big things in and through us. Father, let each and every one of us be sold out to your will and your way in this new year. And Father, may we come back in January of 2025, at the end of 2024, and be able to say, man, look at what you did. Not what we did, what you did. And be able to praise you once again for another great year of ministry. Pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we will see you next week as we are entering our new year of 2024. Just a quick announcement, community groups will begin next week. So our Sunday morning community groups will come back next week. And so if you have never joined us before on a Sunday morning, we invite you, come and join us 10:45 in the morning every Sunday morning. And we'd love to have you. We also meet on Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock for our meal. 6:45, we have a family worship time here in the sanctuary. And then at 7 o'clock to 7:45, community groups, our Wednesday community groups meet. And a great time to connect with our people here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. Look forward to a new year and look forward to seeing you next time.